Go with me to our text now, which is John chapter 6. John 6, I was listening to the Bible study that was brought Sunday morning from John 3, and something that I heard led me over to this verse, and I just enjoyed it all over again. Let's read verse 37 together. John 6, verse 37. It says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." I have titled this message, "Absolute Control and Absolute Comfort." Absolute control and absolute comfort. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Thank God. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That verse and the verses that are right here with it, this portion of Scripture is a very comfortable portion of Scripture to me. That's the word I want to use. It's very, very comfortable. Every time I read this or quote this or think on this, it's like a warm blanket to me. It's like Psalm 23, Romans 8, Ephesians 1. We just quote this, and all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That verse conveys to God's people his absolute control. I don't know of, I've told you this so many times, but I don't know of a more comforting thought than that in the different places throughout the Scripture that he says various versions of that. All that the Father has given to me shall come to me. In this responsibility of preaching the gospel, in this responsibility of throwing the seed, somebody comes in who you've never seen before, never seen that face before, and you wonder, have they ever heard the gospel before? I don't know. And you feel a weight laid on you. You feel a responsibility laid on you. But thank God, all that the Father has given to Christ shall come to Christ in spite of me. That's his absolute control over it. And in seeing his absolute control, we find absolute comfort. Now let's take a minute and just break down this verse and look at each line of it. Verse 37 says, "All that the Father giveth me." All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. In him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. All that the Father giveth me. God truly does have an elect people. He truly does. The Father truly did choose a people to save. He is in absolute control of salvation. He's in absolute control of it. What people believe, don't believe. What they hear and don't hear. He is in absolute control of who he receives to himself and who he does not. He's in absolute control of that. This verse right here is not saying he will in no wise cast anybody out. He receives everybody. He saves everybody. There's nothing to fear here. Nothing to fear at all. No need to fear this God. He's not holy. It's not saying that at all. Matthew 7 tells us that many will say to him, "Lord, Lord." And he will say to them, "Depart from me, I never knew you. Be cast out into outer darkness." It's a sad truth, but it's so. And because of our sin against him, he is just and right in doing it. That's what David said in Psalm 51. "Whatever you do with me, you are just and right in doing it because I've sinned against you." I was thinking about that driving home from this trip. I was thinking about where religion has gone wrong is they don't understand what the word holy means. They Christmas time, they sing about, "Oh, holy night." Holy this and holy that, but they don't know what holy means. He must do what's right. "Shall not the judge of the earth do right?" And David said, "I've sinned against you. And if you judge me accordingly, you're right. You're right." That's what I wish people could understand. God is holy, and he has to do what's right. We're not going to turn, but Matthew chapter 8, Matthew 13, Matthew 22, Matthew 24, Matthew 25. They all say there's going to be a great casting out. So let's not misunderstand and misjudge this holy God who must punish sin. Let's not ever forget that. The moment we forget that, we've lost the glory of the gospel. The moment we forget that he must punish sin, there's no point in preaching anymore. That's the whole reason Christ was nailed to a tree. It's because he must punish our sin. So let's not ever forget that. He said there's going to be a great weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's what Christ spared us from. You hear about these things and you think, how horrible. We cannot imagine what Christ spared us from. But thank God, he's not going to cast out every sinful soul who has sinned against him. There's going to be a great casting out. But he's not going to cast out every sinful soul. And it's all because he chose a particular people to save. He chose some to give some, he said, to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "All that the Father giveth me, all that the Father gives me." Salvation is in the hands of the Lord. It is in his absolute control. He gives to Christ whoever he is pleased to give to Christ. Absolute control. And the absolute comfort is this is who he was pleased to give to Christ. All right, he selects whoever he wants to select. And the glorious comfort is this is who he selected. All right, turn with me to Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verse 25. "At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes." I am so thankful for the fact that we have a lot of babies in this congregation. That's a real blessing to me. We have a lot of babies here. And if mothers who have babies can really enter into this, all right? There goes one now. Babies are helpless, all right? We have little babies. The Lord has been pleased. This is who He was pleased. All that the Father giveth me. Well, this is who the Father was pleased to give to Him. Babes. He said, you've hid these things from the wise and prudent, and you've revealed it unto babes. Babies are helpless. They are helpless. Babies are needy. Ask a mother who has a little baby. Babies are needy. They need. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. They can't talk yet, but that's what their cry is saying. I need thee. Babies are reliant. They are totally, totally dependent. I'm talking about a newborn baby. That newborn baby just lays there in its helplessness. Totally dependent on the one that baby has been given to by God. You know, all souls are God's, and He gives a soul wherever He wants to give it. And that baby is completely reliant on and dependent on the one it has been given to. That is a perfect description of the ones who have been given to Christ. While everybody out there is just so confident of their ability and confident of everything they can do for themselves, that is the perfect illustration of the ones who have been given to Christ. We are so helpless before God. We are so needy. I'm telling you, I am so needy. I am more needy now than I was then. I believe I will be. People are always saying, doesn't it get better as you get older? I don't think so. We are totally relying on and totally dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ to do everything for us. Everything for us. God's people know that. They know that. They know they can't do anything for themselves. If you look down at verse 28 right here in Matthew 11, He said, come unto me. Who will come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Who has been given to Him? Who has He caused to come to Him? The labored ones and the heavy laden ones. And that's us, isn't it? That's us. We come to Him out of need. We come to Him out of need. I don't know why many people come to Him. I don't know really what many people's motivation is for coming to whatever it is they're coming to. But we come to Him out of need, great need. We come to Him out of necessity. We have to come to You. We come to Him out of total dependence on Him for everything. This attitude that so many people have. As I was writing this, I was thinking, I really want somebody to hear this, whether it's here now or 20 years from now on the internet. I really want somebody to hear this because this is so, so prevalent. So many people have this attitude. You see it everywhere. You hear it everywhere. And some people have it and they don't know they have it. But this is the attitude. Well, I know I'm saved. There's no doubt in my mind. If anybody's saved, I'm saved. Saved? Yes, I'm saved. That is not a heart that is coming to Christ. That is not. That's a heart that is coming to himself or herself. A heart that comes to Christ comes in need. Truly, truly, a heart that comes to Christ is one that has been taught by God who Christ is and what He has done to satisfy this holy God on behalf of His people. Look back with me at John 6. John 6, look at verse 45 right here. It says, "It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." Every soul that has been given to Christ is taught of God. Really? Taught of God. You know, until that, men and women are taught by some other man. Well, I heard so-and-so say, and I heard so-and-so say, and there's a book that so-and-so wrote, and God's people are taught of God. I mean, truly taught the Word of God. They hear the truth by God, of God. Verse 45 said, "It is written in the prophets, they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." They hear the truth of His holiness, that they can't do anything to satisfy His perfect demands. They hear the truth of His justice, that He must punish the soul that sins against Him. They hear the truth, thank God, of His remedy. The only remedy that there is, the one that the Father provided in the blood of His own Son. And when God's people hear all those things, they come running. They do, they come running. They come running to the only hope that there is of being raised up on the last day. Everybody here has a last day. There is going to come a day when the Lord's going to gather all of His people to Himself. The souls are coming back to get their bodies, and we'll all go together. But every day, somebody has a last day. And on my last day, I want to be raised up. I want to be raised up on my last day. And the only hope of that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the only hope. God revealing this and teaching this to all of His people, this is what draws His people to Christ. Verse 44, right here in John 6, says, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him." No man or woman can come to the Lord Jesus Christ. The message is, come to Christ. That's the message. No man or woman can, except the Father gives that sinner to Christ and reveals to that sinner his or her need of Christ. And by God-given faith and hope, draws the sinner to Christ. That's what has to happen. Without that, no man or woman can come. But if God gives and if God draws, they're coming. They're coming. So verse 37 says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me." I pray the Lord will teach us what this means. I pray the Lord will teach us what this means. Him that cometh to me. The message is, come to Christ. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not religion. Not religion. That is the first blanket. I don't even know what to call it. Thing that people come to. Religion. Are you in church? You go to church? Good. I'm glad you're in church. You're okay. I'm okay. Church is good. Just pick a church. Okay, that's religion. Don't come to religion. Don't come to religion. Some people learn some things in the Scripture and hear, well, they're not exactly saying what this is saying. And they grow from that and they learn, no, you've got to have correct doctrine. And you do, but He didn't say, come to correct doctrine. He said, me. He didn't say, come to morality. Our Lord didn't say that. He didn't say, come to an improvement in your flesh. Come to better works. Are we exhorted unto good works? Sure we are. But the only way that's possible is in Him. He said, come to me. Come to me. The majority of people in religion think they are coming to Christ, when in reality, they are coming to themselves and they don't even know it. They honestly think they're coming to Christ by coming to religion and by coming to good works and by coming to all these things, being sincere. The reality is that much focus on the flesh is coming to the flesh. Our Lord said, all that the Father hath given to me will deny everything concerning themselves and everything concerning their flesh, and they will come to me. They'll come to me. They will come to my flesh. They will come to my works. They will come to my body and my blood alone. Alone, without the deeds of their own flesh. They'll have no confidence in their own flesh, none whatsoever. And he said, when that happens, when one of my own gets so low on himself or herself because they've lost all confidence in themselves, they're just completely needy, helpless, broken beggars who have nowhere else to go. That's what the disciples said to the Lord. We don't have anywhere else to go. That's where God's people are. Is there anywhere else to go? Is there anywhere else to go? When there is nowhere else to go and nothing else we can do but cast ourselves on Him, He said, when that happens, truly, truly happens, the soul that casts his all on me, comes to me, He said, I will receive that soul to myself. I will pick that soul up from his or her low estate, and by my power, by my strength, by my absolute control, I will raise that soul up with me at the last day. I'll raise him up. Very quickly, just turn with me to a couple of scriptures. Go to Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse 18 says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. That's who the Lord is near to and will receive. Verse 6, I love this verse. It says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Look at Psalm 113. Psalm 113, verse 5 says, who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. One more, go to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. There's only one way to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's as a broken sinner in need. He said, all who come that way, I'll raise you up. I will bind you up. Go with me back to John 6. Verse 37 says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. You know why God's people really come to Christ? It's because Christ came to them. He said in verse 38, I came down so that you could go up. He said, I came down. John the Baptist said, he must increase, I must decrease. The only reason John even had a heart to say that is because Christ came down, humbled himself down, so John could go up. Christ humbled himself so his people could be lifted up. He said in verse 39, all of them are going to be lifted up, every single one of them. This is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. In John 17, he said, Father, none of them are lost. None of them ever will be. Verse 40, he said, every soul that sees the Son, truly sees the Son, God manifest in the flesh, the only mediator between God and man. Every soul that sees the Son and believes on him has been caused to cast his all on Christ for mercy. And that soul has everlasting life. And he said, I will raise all of those souls up at the last day. So here's, I'll close with this. Come to Christ is the command. Come to Christ as a needy beggar for mercy is the instruction. Come as a helpless, needy, sinful soul, begging for mercy. And with that instruction, he said, my sheep, through this word, they're going to hear my voice. They're going to follow me. They're going to come to me. He's going to say, you come to me, all who are labored and heavy laden, babes. They're going to hear it, and they're going to come to me. And that's exactly what we do. We come to him. We don't sing it too often, but the song says, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, please don't pass me by. Please, please. Verse 45 said, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Our scripture reading just a minute ago said, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Draw us nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. We're going to close with that. Let's stand together.